Hello, and welcome to Pulling the Music Apart. I'm Dave. I'm joined by my siblings, Norlia and Russell, along with our special guest, Savas, Michael Savas, Mr. Michael Savas. As the name implies, we're here to analyse and dissect music. On this podcast, we'll be discussing famous soloists. I like that word, soloists, who came from other bands. Russell, you start.
Straight in there with Lionel Richie. So Lionel started his career as the lead singer of the Commodores, or one of the lead singers of the Commodores, and didn't have some great tracks. Mm-hmm. Once, Twice, Three Times a Lady. Mm-hmm. And was his career bigger when he went solo?
Definitely.
Oh, hell, I think, yeah. So. Dancing on the ceiling. You know, amazing. And he's one of those artists who's able to reinvent himself, isn't he? And I think it was his brainchild. I think he got the how many artists together for
USA for
USA
Africa.
For Africa, and along with Michael.
Michael, yeah.
And I saw Doco on that one. Did you see the making of that?
I did, yeah.
It 40 years after the event, and along with, who was the producer? It was what's his name? He produced Long Richie Jackson's
Jackson Five. Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones. So they co-produced the whole event, and a clever man. And a great soloist, Lionel Richie, Once, Twice, Three Times a Lady, Dancing on the Ceiling. Yep, that's my first one.
Oh, not to mention the...
Hello.
Is, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
The Can't Slow Down album. I mean, what an album. I don't think there was one dud song on that one.
Some other tracks off that album.
Running with the Night.
Oh, yeah, Running with the Night.
All Night Long.
Yep.
He liked the night thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they actually did that. They got everyone together for the USA for Africa at night, because I think they'd just done the American Awards night or something for what was it? It was an awards night.
Grammys, I think.
Golden Globes or Grammys or something like that. And then he got everyone together and said, all right, now this is when the real work begins, and we're not going home until we actually get this song right.
Yeah.
We are the world.
Do you feel like he was one of the good guy musicians? Like he didn't have that reputation like some of the others?
You don't hear any bad things about him, do you?
Yes, but I did the other day. So even the squeaky clean Mr. Lionel Richie had a mistress.
Really?
And he's,
was that all? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was just saying, I always thought he was a total gentleman, but I think he had many... Many, many lovers.
So that doesn't go to the heading under the heading of, oh, that's rock and roll.
Well, you just don't picture it, you know, when you're listening. Did he used to sing that song, You Are the Sun, You Are the Rain?
Mm.
No? Mm-hmm. You don't know it? From the Commodores?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I remember you saying Easy. That was a big hit for them.
Well, well, that's probably why. Easy. He probably wrote that when he had a mistress.
That's why it's
easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning. I should have listened to the lyrics.
I think you can give him a break because, you know, so many before and after him have been that way. You know, you look at Dave Grohl, who gets very, very preachy, and, you know, his mistress gave birth to a baby. Well, you know, obviously he did have another confession to make.
The baby Grohl.
Yeah. So, but that is sidetracked. But yeah, Lionel Richie, a great artist to come from another band.
And then and they got Mick Jagger, who wears that as a badge of honour.
Oh, yeah, he's a legend for that, yeah.
Russell, who's Lionel Richie's daughter? Isn't she quite famous?
Yeah, she is.
What's her name?
Nicole
Richie, right.
Yeah, but
good friend of
Paris Hilton.
I think she was, I don't know if she's, Lionel Richie's actually her dad.
I think adopted daughter.
Adopted daughter, yeah.
Adopted daughter,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, still a dad, kind of.
Kind of, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, getting back to Dave Grohl, when you said he used to get all preachy,
yeah,
doesn't now, does he?
No, he's had to back off on that thing a bit.
Because everyone would be calling out hypocrite.
Yeah. Because, he's I know people now that won't listen to him because he's done that.
Oh.
And... sorry to tell you, everybody, but just don't listen to any music.
Are our expectations too high sometimes?
Yeah.
Because they're human beings.
Absolutely.
That's right. He may be a complete knob, but his music is great.
Yeah, but this is what I have to say to people that don't want to listen to musicians because of who they sleep with.
Yep.
That is not what I wanted to say. That is actually not what I was going to say. But that's life.
Look, I think it's easy to judge an artist by their politics or their take on life. But at the end of the day, if you love their music, and that's what we're here for, let's put all that stuff aside.
And
I mean, within reason, if they're doing bad things or if it's family violence and that sort of stuff, that's not forgivable.
Yeah.
But if they're making some poor lifestyle choices
and
it's not affecting others, let's enjoy their music.
I guess he was just trying to give the best of himself to someone.
Mm-hmm.
You're up, Nulls.
All right.
She was once, twice, three times a lady, though, wasn't she?
Yes, there you go. See? Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to be really cheeky and I'm going to do two for one. Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins from Genesis.
Yes.
Boom Shakalaka.
You missed one.
Who?
Well, there was three famous people in Genesis.
Oh, Mike Rutherford.
Yes, but not as famous.
Still famous, come on.
A pretty big album.
Pretty big album, but not everybody knows them. Like, they know Phil Collins and I'm not arguing the point. He's very successful, yes. But look at what Peter Gabriel's done. And
Since Genesis. Because he left really early. I think it was about 75. Yep.
And he was really creative. Like, you could tell if you watch any of his videos from the early 70s, he was really far out, man. Like, I don't know if he was what he was doing, but he was definitely giving out those really creative vibes.
Oh, he was hitting it with a sledgehammer, wasn't he? All right.
Well, he was doing something. But, you know, but the music that he's created has, you know, it captivates people to this day.
He hit the big time, didn't he?
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, look, it was enough to shock the monkey. Yeah.
And obviously we have spoken a lot about Phil Collins. Everybody knows Phil Collins and what he's been able to achieve. But not everybody knows who Genesis is. They might know of Invisible Touch, but I don't think Peter Gabriel wasn't even in that.
Oh, he's gone, long gone.
Yeah. We'll even go back to 77, Follow You, Follow Me.
Yeah.
Peter was gone.
Mm. From the album And Then There Were Three.
Yeah.
So there you go. Mm.
Which obviously refers to...
No more Peter Gabriel.
he gone.
Yeah. Service.
All right. Another curveball for me. Everybody knows the band INXS, but when they toured, they had a female backing vocalist.
Hang on. Was it Linda Ball, Vicar Ball?
No, you're thinking of the Black Sorrows.
Okay.
Joe Camilleri and the Black Sorrows.
Can you give us a cryptic clue?
Her surname was Morris.
Oh, Jenny.
Jenny Morris.
Jenny Morris, yes.
A good clue would have been she's from New Zealand.
Is she Kiwi, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Is she? I didn't know that.
And did you know she's just got to be loved?
I was
going to
say that.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had to have my
turn. I just thought that was really cool that she started off as INXS's, you know, touring backing vocalist and then had a big prosperous career in Australia.
Yes.
Yeah, through the 80s till about the early 90s.
Yeah.
I haven't heard her do anything since.
Maxim.
Right.
Hey, didn't Kate Sobrano also do backing vocals for INXS at one stage?
She did. In INXS and the Models, yeah.
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 There you go.
But Jenny Morris, I love that album. I forget what it was called. The one with She Had to Be Love on it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I think it was produced by one of the INXS boys anyway.
Right, right.
Yeah, but, well, geez, she had a good body of work with her band QED as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, came out of obscurity.
I like it.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it was one we all knew.
Right. Yes. Over to you, Dave.
Jeez, we dodged that bullet. Okay, one I'm thinking of here is lead singer of Chicago, Peter Cetera.
Mm-hmm.
He had a pretty successful solo career after Chicago. And produced by the same bloke, David Foster, who produced Chicago's last few albums. You know, that Karate Kid song.
Yep.
Yeah, just to name a few. yeah, look, he's done well. He's more of the genre or music purists hate to hear, but I'm going to say those words now, yacht rock.
Mm.
Look, yeah. I'll say it. It exists. Right. It really exists.
Well, we gave it another term before, adult contemporary.
Yeah.
I don't like either of them.
No.
There's a resurgence of it, though. Well, a friend of mine called Tom Mann, he's a drummer, he's in a band now called Yacht Rock. And that's what they do, they play yacht rock. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, like covers, and they're quite successful.
So you mentioned Peter Cetera with the Karate Kid song. I know that one. I am a man who will fight for your honour. Like a knight in shining armour.
that was the guy from... Was that the same guy?
Yeah. Wow. But, like, I'd also say that genre also had the corny lyrics in it too.
Yeah.
The more corny type of lyrics from that
that's
era.
That's how it went. That's how that went in the 80s.
He kind of fell into the category of Richard Marx and people
like... yeah, but I can't think of any other song that he's done that I really dug because I liked the Chicago... I like the songs that he did with Chicago. Not all of them, but some of them. I only know the Karate Kid one.
Right.
Yeah, he did release a couple of albums after that.
Yeah.
Look, the songs certainly weren't hits in Australia. May have received significant airplay on radio stations in other parts of the world, particularly North America. But... I like his work and a great bass guitarist as well.
Yeah, what about when you were working in Alice Springs? Did people make many requests for Chicago there? Or?
Not so much. You know, they might like the Woorumpi Band or Cold Chisel or something like that, but, you know, right. But not so much Peter Cetera or Chicago. No. Russell, yours.
So who's heard of the band called Journey?
Yeah, everyone. Yeah.
What's the standout song?
Well, the one that they played in Glee.
Glee
gave it that resurgence.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
Do you like the song?
And what was the other one? That other movie with Tom Cruise in it that was a rock movie. Oh.
So the lead singer for the band had a solo career. I won't give you the name, but I'll give you a bit of a clue. You should have been gone.
Yep.
Who is it?
Joe Perry.
Steve Perry.
Steve Perry. Yes. Joe Perry's from Aerosmith. Aerosmith, yeah.
One did lots of drugs, one didn't.
So Steve Perry. Oh, Sherry, what an epic.
Right.
Epic song.
Mm.
Yeah.
Once again, another brilliant film clip. I think they elongate the song in the film clip. Amazing stuff from the 80s. That's mine.
Yeah.
Steve Perry.
Can I go next? Because I'm going to continue the story about Journey. So another person from Journey.
Continue
the journey. Neil Sean, the guitar player of Journey, quite famous, was in the Santana band and he joined when he was 17. So that was going to be one of my choices, even though he had a solo career as a guitar player and so forth, but I just thought that was really cool that he went from Santana to Journey, then became a solo artist. So we've got Steve Perry and Neil Sean, two famous people from one band, and we had Genesis before too.
Mm.
Yes.
So over to you, Knowles.
I'm going to be cheeky again because, you know, it was hard for women to make it on their own. In the music scene.
Sounds like
in the 70s, 80s, whatever. Stevie Nicks, yep. Fleetwood Mac.
Yep.
Oh.
Stevie Nicks' solo career definitely took off. But some people, and you guys can give me your thoughts on this, how successful do you think she was on her own? Because when I think of the best music that she ever made, it was with Fleetwood Mac. But she, you know, she wanted a name of her own. She wanted to branch out. Thoughts? What do you think?
Well, she co-wrote with Fleetwood Mac. She was one of the writers.
Yep.
So, yeah.
But what I'm talking about is the work she did on her own. Some songs were good, you know, like think of
I Can't Wait.
I Can't Wait and Stand Back.
Yep.
Yep, they're pretty great songs.
She did a duet with Tom Petty.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
That's a brilliant song.
And that other guy too, she did it in the late 70s. Another guy she did a duet with.
Oh, Don Henley.
Yes.
Was it Don Henley?
Was it Don Henley?
No, it was another member of the Eagles, but not Don Henley.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, it was the guitar player. She was having a love affair with him and they did a single together.
Well, she did Leather and Lace.
That's it, Leather and Lace.
With Don Henley, there you go. This was a different song I'm talking
about. Which is a story about Waylon Jennings and Jesse Coulter, the country music singers.
Mm.
Yeah. But that's another story, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like her most iconic songs were with Fleetwood Mac. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. I think her best work was within the confines of Fleetwood Mac, but her solo stuff was pretty bloody good.
I think so too. Some of it was outstanding, but then some of the other songs on the album don't match up to the outstanding ones.
Yeah.
Whereas you put on Fleetwood Mac and just about every song's good.
Oh, particularly the
Rumours album.
Yeah. Well, also because you have Christy McVie, you had, everyone.
Yeah.
John McVie, Mick Fleetwood.
Mick Fleetwood and Lindsay Buckingham.
Lindsay Buckingham.
I'm having a look and she did a duet in 1978 with Kenny Loggins.
That's right, Whenever I Call Your Friend.
Yeah. With from Loggins and...
what was it called?
Messina. It's called I Call Your Friend. And the one I was thinking of, it's called Gold. It was released in 1979.
With John Stewart.
Thank you very much. That's that rock one I was thinking
didn't
of.
Didn't that sound like Fleetwood Mac?
Mm. And she's also collaborated with, Don Henley, correct, and Tom Petty.
I've got a story about this. With the song Gold by John Stewart. Mm. Our mum.
Yep.
I remember she didn't like the song. I had it playing in my bedroom. It was probably on 3KZ or 3XY or something. And she said, "Can you turn that violent music down?" What?
Really?
She, what do you mean? I don't like the words people singing rock and roll in the shower. So our mum found that violent for some reason, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Well, she was Scottish. I guess rock and roll in the shower was not a desirable thing.
I know.
In the day.
Right, but I do know that she loved Boy George Culture Club and she loved Wham, and we didn't know that George wouldn't have liked us back in the day. We thought he was very handsome.
It's a pity she didn't like normal music, isn't it, really?
Oh. But she loved that music. She loved it. She thought it sounded amazing. She will play the records and listen together. She'd get right into it. I love that. She loved that. She loved Spandau Ballet as well.
Oh.
Yeah. So
true.
I just want to add to the other, cheeky, sneaky bit that I wanted to add in. It was, I Can Tina Turner Review. Tina Turner.
Yep.
And, incredibly difficult for her to have a solo career. Mm. I mean, absolute miracle in a way. She just had someone believe in her, just one person, and she was able to completely start all over again. And most people that know music know what she went through. Years of abuse, I think 16 years of abuse with Ike.
Crazy, yeah.
And not just, it was very bad. So the fact that she was strong enough to start all over again, and it was an Australian producer that found her and started her career again.
She was 40, which at that time was quite old to begin
a new
career.
She's probably a grandma.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well.
Was What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that was a very Australian, that particular song had a very Australian flavour about it, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I will probably have to look up the name of the producer, the guy that he just didn't give up on it. He was so, and she actually wasn't really sure about it. And she had also grown very strong mentally before meeting this gentleman.
It's funny that you say that, because I've seen her live concerts in Australia, footage of it, and she always says, "I've got a strong connection and a strong affinity with Australia. Thank you. Mm.
That's why.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I love that whole Private Dancer album, by the way.
But I was fortunate enough to see the Tina Turner production that came out and is no longer here in Melbourne now. That was one of the best musicals I've ever seen in my life. Right. And I really felt like I got to learn so much about her from the amazing script and performances. Roger Davies was a producer.
Okay.
Who discovered her.
So on this one, so if you go back to 1974, their iconic song was Nutbush.
Nutbush, yeah.
Do you think of Ike and Tina Turner when you hear that song, or do you think of Tina Turner?
To me it's just Tina Turner.
Me too. Yep.
Even though it's labelled Ike and Tina Turner, yeah.
Yeah, he's completely diminished in my mind.
Yeah.
They
were amazing together. Yep, and we can't ignore that.
Yeah.
But she went on to be, the Turner.
An icon. Yeah. An icon.
The important Turner.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like seeing Tina Turner and, Mick Jagger on stage together, which I know that they did, and I think David Bowie. I mean, that's the level of brilliance that she had.
And she's got another connection to Australia, obviously, too, teaming up with Jimmy Barnes.
That's right.
And
the best. Yeah, that's right.
Becomes the, unfortunately for us, the state we live in, which we believe in, the real footy code, Aussie rules, she was aligned with the NRL, simply the best.
Mm.
And what a catch cry that is. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? It's brilliant marketing. And I'm extremely jealous that the AFL doesn't have that. What have we got?
The AFL doesn't get the kind of performances the NRL does.
No.
But that's a sporting code thing. Okay, I'll go into my one. Don Henley, the Eagles.
Yeah.
When you think about it, I know the Eagles, included Timothy B. Schmidt, Glenn Frey, the other one who was sacked, Joe Walsh. Don Henley, I think, made the other guys take a bit of a back seat anyway. And then, he came out with his solo album in the mid-'80s. Then
Boys of Summer.
Yeah, well, that was the breakout single, from Building the Perfect Beast. Don Henley, his career from the Eagles was massive.
Absolutely. But he had a pretty amazing voice as well.
And what a drummer.
And he's super talented.
That's the other thing. How difficult is it to be a lead singer and drum?
Back in the days when it was going live to tape.
Yeah.
The same time.
Exactly.
There's so much going on, just musically. There's so much going on. I mean, that's a bit of a natural gift there.
I think if you ask any muso that's a drummer, ask them what's the most difficult thing to do. Oh, that's the sing and drum.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm. Well, and hard enough as you're playing drums before even thinking about singing, your brain's split up into four different things anyway.
It is. Mm.
And then sing on top of that?
Are you talking about like snare, hi-hat, kick drum? Are you talking about all of that and singing? All those things.
Unless you're Steve Allen from Def Leppard, you're using all four limbs.
And your rhythm pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. And keeping to the beat.
Mm.
Yeah, but his career post the Eagles just was huge. And then with his follow-up album, I wish I remembered the name of it, but he had help from Bruce Hornsby to produce that thing. That had some good songs in it too, like The End of the Innocence, Last Worthless Evening.
That's just the way it is.
Ha! Yeah, that's right, yeah. But, so for me, Don Henley from the Eagles, what a transition that was there. Savas, you'd probably agree. Well, I mean, not just because I'm telling you to agree, but Don Henley post the Eagles, that was a massive career.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with Don Henley, the reason that he became so big was his distinctive voice. And he was very much like Robert Plant. In terms of he was kind of, what's the word? He was very flexible and could flex and mould his image to the times. he was so 80s in the 80s, like Robert Plant was, and kept on moving with the times.
Yeah. True. He could hit those high notes.
Right.
But have you heard his speaking voice?
Yeah.
We're touring at the moment down in Australia. But he sings up there.
He's got falsetto. He's got great falsetto.
Yeah.
I mean, the Eagles are one of those bands that them down in a textbook. Like, it's like they're textbook perfect. It's amazing that a band like that actually really existed, where every member sings and every member's got so much talent.
Well, you've got three lead singers.
Yeah.
One, two, three. Oh, no, four.
Four.
Yeah.
Four lead singers.
So.
And they all have a really unique tone. I think the tone in their voice too, along with, I don't know, they've got that rock style, plus they've got those brilliant falsettos when they sing. They can do everything. When you say versatility.
Mm. I think Don Felder may have sang one of the songs too, so maybe five singers.
Because there was that song in the 70s, but the bass player sang it, but he left later. It was called Take It to the Limits.
Yep, that's the one.
To the Limit. But he left in the late 70s. He was the bass player. Really? He was an amazing singer too. And then Timothy Schmidt took his place.
Yeah,
New Kid in Town.
That's the funny thing.
Yeah, that's a great song.
He replaced him
in
Poco. Then that guy went from Poco to Eagles, and then Timothy B. Schmidt replaced him in the Eagles.
That's hilarious.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Wow. A little bit like George Harrison and Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton, yeah. Yeah, but they traded wives.
Yeah. All in a friendly manner, of course. Okay, Russ, your one.
So, have you heard of a band called the Beatles?
No. Right.
One of their members... I'm just going to look this up.
Are we going to guess who it is?
Yeah, please.
George Harrison?
No.
John Lennon. It's obviously Ringo.
No.
Paul McCartney.
Yes, Paul.
I
think he went on to have a reasonably successful career when the Beatles disbanded. Where do we start? Paul McCartney Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And
Paul McCartney again.
Paul McCartney, yes, that's right. And I think they're he still tours today.
And then there's that awesome song that he did with Kanye West.
Really?
I think he played acoustic guitar on it.
Yeah, he played. Yeah. It was Rihanna and Kanye West and Paul McCartney. And when I saw them all together, I was like, oh no.
Not always the best choices, but. Michael Jackson, So. Yeah.
But that was a good song.
It was a good song.
Stevie Wonder.
Ebony and Ivory.
Jeez. Yeah.
These are one to forget, yeah.
Did he have a bigger career post-Beatles?
I think so. I mean,
I think so.
If you look at it as record sales and longevity.
So the Beatles...
touring, certainly, Wings.
Yeah. Wings around
Beatles,
the world.
Beatles started in 1960 and disbanded in 1970.
Yeah. I think Beatles stopped touring in 1966.
Yeah.
So, you know, his concert tours well exceeds what it was with the Beatles.
A bigger body of work?
Mm.
Yeah.
You reckon?
Well, he released his first album in 1969 or 70, the one that was called Ram.
Yeah.
Was that 69 or 70?
Yeah, 70.
Let's say 70, yeah. So there was quite a bit of dispute within the Beatles while you're recording. I think he was recording that album while he was still in the Beatles.
Probably.
So it's not insane. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Look, I think he, out of all the Beatles, clearly the most successful.
Mm.
Who knows? John Lennon may have had the same success.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
It was a little bit.
Just imagine.
It wouldn't have happened. Well, I mean, I can imagine because the biggest mistake that he made was releasing Double Fantasy, which had whatever, 10 songs on them, and five of them Yoko sang.
Yes.
Everyone just skipped her songs onto John's songs. And then they released Sugar, Milk and Honey after he passed away.
Posthumous album, yes.
Yeah, which was, again, like 5 and 5 with Yoko.
Do you think if you put
the first 5 and 5 together, you get a good album.
Do you think she was playing mind games with him?
She was, I think.
Well, nobody told him there were going to be days like this.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So. No, there's. I don't think anyone really... dug her screaming.
No.
Singing. She wasn't singing, she was screaming. And
yeah.
There's that, I don't know if anybody ever gets a chance to see Chuck Berry and John Lennon performing with Yoko Ono. You've got to watch it. It's you must
the,
Google it.
The sideways look.
Yeah, from, when Chuck. Yeah, when Chuck Berry starts.
But back
he's
to
very
the
polite though.
But back to the silly love songs. We were talking about Paul McCartney, weren't we?
Yes.
Not John Lennon.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Well, on that, so why not? No rules here. John Lennon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once again, comes from the biggest boy group of all times. I love John. I think if I had to pick out of the two, Paul is my man. And I think it's like picking between Ford and General Motors, isn't it? You're either a John Lennon fan or a Paul McCartney fan. Oh, I'm going to err on the side of Paul. Massive body of work. Clearly, John was at a distinct disadvantage, sadly. You know, got killed, murdered in 1980.
Yeah.
So, sad stuff. But yeah, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, I think are my two standouts as artists who have made it as have had a brilliant solo career post belonging to another band.
Yeah. And what a band.
Yeah. I mean, George Harrison too.
And Ringo.
Seriously though, I mean, we've spent time listening to George Harrison together, and some of the songs he's written are out of this world.
Some of the Beatles' biggest hits, George Harrison.
Yeah.
Well, Ringo's biggest hit as a solo artist, "Don't Come Easy," was written by Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
he just handed it to him. So, yeah.
But yeah, so Paul McCartney.
So it did come easy to him.
Yeah.
But then. And even talking about versatility, you know, over the years, like he's definitely, obviously, to be able to collaborate with Kanye West, I would imagine would have been really difficult, and Rihanna. Like, you know, they're lucky that they got to work with him in that. But, you know, somebody that's that well known and that talented, you know, he's obviously very versatile to be able to do that kind of thing.
Paul's actually made a couple of albums singing songs with contemporary artists, and he clearly is an icon.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of the album, but he got several other artists and who sang his songs.
Oh, that's right, yeah, yeah.
And he produced it, and I'd love to know what it is. Look it up.
Mm. He played on a Dave Grohl song as well.
Did he?
Yeah, Paul McCartney went to the studio and Dave Grohl was expecting him to play bass on it. He goes, no, I'll play drums on it. He played drums on it.
Well,
and Dave Grohl was astonished how much of a good drummer he is.
Multi-instrumentalist. You've seen...
He played everything on Let It Be pretty much.
So. Well, you've seen Paul live.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to see him last year, year before, live. And during that concert, obviously we saw him play bass.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah,
we saw him play keyboard.
Piano.
Yep, piano. He picked up his little lead or a rhythm.
Yeah.
And
a Les Paul.
Mandolin as well.
A mandolin.
Yes.
And a ukulele.
And did we see him drum? Possibly.
No, he didn't drum.
Didn't he drum?
I don't think he did.
Well, he may have privately.
Yeah.
Well, he did fill in for Ringo on drums on the Making of the White album when Ringo left the band. For a brief period, so he knows how to play drums.
Yeah, he knows how to play drums.
You know what I'm realizing is that we could actually have a whole podcast on the Beatles.
Yeah, right. So, a whole podcast on Paul McCartney.
Oh, a whole podcast on George Harrison.
Yeah.
We
could also have a whole podcast on the next band. My final one, The Wailers.
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley came out of The Wailers.
Yep.
Peter Tosh came out of The Wailers, who had a big solo career, and Bunny Wailer. A mediocre career, but that was one of the biggest bands out of Jamaica.
Mm.
So there you go. Yeah.
And didn't Mick Jagger play with Peter Tosh back in the early 80s?
Yeah.
A bit of Walk and Don't Look Back.
Yeah, that's right, Walk and Don't Look Back, yeah. So.
Great song, actually.
Yeah.
I like that stuff.
Well, that's my two cents.
Okay, and I'll briefly say it's purely Australian. But Ian Moss of Cold Chisel.
Mm.
Two solo albums after Cold Chisel. They were great. They were fantastic. Great examples of his guitar work. And beautiful singer, not to mention composer and musician as well.
He didn't have a mobile telephone, did he? I think he only had a telephone booth.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was back in the late 80s. Give him a break there.
And he had the famous title too. He had Barnsey, Farnsey and Mossy. So, you know, you got to be really iconic in Australia to get whatever at the end of your name.
Didn't he used to refer to someone's daughter? Who was that?
Oh, Tucker. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But
this is a bit Aussie-centric.
She's a memory now.
But he is incredible to see perform. Look, I've had the pleasure back in my radio days of having him perform live in the studio and do an acoustic session. And when it happens, you actually see him go into a completely different zone.
Mm.
Very shy man. Mm. And the eyes are closed and this beautiful singing voice just happens. Sorry, I just bumped stuff. I'm sorry, Brad, the producer. I didn't mean to bump stuff here. But
we can edit that out.
But he's a great talent, a great Aussie talent.
I'm betting he's a lovely guy too.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice bloke, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
I was just saying that the other day. I was listening to him on he just happened to be on one of our playlists, and I just, wow, I could listen to him sing for hours.
So to people who listen to this from areas other than Australia, have a listen to Ian Moss or Cole Chisel. He was one of the band members of that band and actually still is. Ian Moss, check it out.
Beautiful. Well, that's it for this episode. If you have any questions, you just want to leave a comment, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram at Pulling the Music Apart. Our next episode is almost ready, so stay tuned for its release. Until then, keep listening to the music. Thanks for tuning in.